welcome to the Sexiness Girl podcast, the podcast that turns dog training on its tail with a whirlwind of playful learning that achieves real life results. Each episode is packed with inventive games-based training solutions supported by our Games Club, the ultimate dog training membership with a team of pro trainers helping you every step of the way. Think of us like your go-to squad of experts. I'm Lauren Langman. I'm a top-level agility competitor. I'm a best-selling author, owner of the largest dog training facility in the UK, and a founder of the Sexiness Girl Challenge, a challenge that's helped over 130,000 dog owners get real-life results. Our team consists of experts in scent work, obedience, detection, search and rescue, tracking, and the intricacies of why your dog does exactly what they do, and so much more. Our mission, whether you're wrangling a bitey sharky puppy or you're teaching an old dog new tricks, we are here to help you be the very best dog owner that you can be for your dog. So grab your dog, their favourite reward, and a sense of adventure. It's time to transform your training sessions. Ready, set, play. Let's welcome you to the Sexiness Girl podcast powered by the Games Club. Hello and welcome to the Sexiness Girl podcast, the podcast that gives you real life dog training and sometimes human training results too. Now, we're talking today a topic that so many people do not want to talk about. In fact, they'd like to avoid it. They'd like to ban these dogs from classes and they'd like to actively not have anything to do with aggressive dogs. We are talking dog-dog aggression, dog-people aggression, and actively, I suppose, dealing with dogs as a trainer when you have dog aggression around you. Now, Dave, we're talking, and I think this is really appropriate. Dave's worked with operational dogs for the last 20 years and learn dogs really in so many different aspects of life. And ultimately, Dave, when you're working with operational dogs, you're typically handed a lot of dogs who are potentially aggressive because people think they might be right in the job that you're going to put them in. We're going to dispel that myth because ultimately they're possibly not. However, you have worked with a lot of aggressive dogs, right?
Yeah, I think it's you hear really good point. So very often people think police dogs are aggressive dogs. And, you know, we used to be inundated with people who contact us and say, oh, my dog's bitten someone. I've spoke to someone who thinks it'd make a really good police dog. And we were like, oh, no, actually, that's not actually what we want. So I think there's a lot of things around aggression and aggressive dogs where there's lots of kind of misinterpretation around them. And like you say, there's a real reluctance sometimes for people to actually help people with aggressive dogs. And I understand it because, you know, it is quite a complex area. But there are little things that can be done that, again, just help to try and manage some of those behaviours that might be unwanted.
So let's work through. I think we can do a bit of a tips tennis on this one. Both of us have had huge experience with aggressive dogs. I've worked with dogs for over 20 years. Same for you. You've worked with dogs for over 20 years. You've worked them operationally and in the forces, typically German Shepherds, Malinois. You've trained all breeds. I've seen you have like pointers. I've seen you have collies. I've seen you have Spaniels, Labs, Crosses, Springers. You've had pretty much everything. And I would guess typically your Malinois and your German Shepherds were the more likely to be on that sort of spectrum. For me, I've worked with, again, all breeds, all sizes, all ages, all stages, but typically Border Collies, quite reactive, lungy, barky. Again, all breeds. I mean, I've seen Spaniels with quite serious aggression. And I've also seen Terriers with serious aggression. And I've also seen Labradors with aggression. Like, you know what? All breeds, all sizes. But let's tips tennis it. And I think the first thing I'm going to say is lifestyling. So actually consider what you're doing with this dog and whether it's appropriate for them. For example, if I had a dog who was really struggling right now, I would potentially consider not continuing to put them in situations they were struggling in, not continuing to walk them or not continuing to put them out there with dog-dog situations or dog-dog people situations and continuing to try and make it better by putting them in the face of it, putting them in the situation. That would be my first tip. How about yours, Dave?
Well, you picked my favourite topic there, Lauren, lifestyling. So I think it leads into lifestyling a little bit. I think it's about occupying the dog in the right way. And what I see very often is that there's so much suppression of dogs that are or have or might have had aggressive tendencies that they don't really get an outlet for enrichment and things. And I'm not saying we overload the dog, but I definitely think you need to employ the dog in some way, shape or form in order to try and manage some of those behaviours. So, you know, the stuff we do around scent work and focus activities is really, really key to those sorts of dogs. Is if we can engage their brain and give them an activity where they need to engage their brain and focus, I'm not saying it will obviously completely eradicate all of the bad behavior, but it will certainly go a long way in terms of employing the dog into doing something we want them to do. And as part of that, it's really important.
I love that. Like appropriate employment. So we're talking appropriate employment, a bit like me, you know, what, give me appropriate employment and I'm great. And you know what, give me like something else to do and I'll be off scoffing food, eating chocolate, finding snacks. Like that is definitely my way. And so you've got to find appropriate employment. If not, you know what it's like, we'll just deploy and do something else. And for me, I think when we're talking that, I've got a great point that sort of leads off appropriate employment. And I love what you said about scent as well, Dave, because I think it's in a world where dogs are potentially aggressive or strung or overwhelmed or anxious, scent is such a good space to take them that enriches them and brings them into a place in their mind that they have to focus, but they can also do it in an empowering way, like they lead the game. So I think scent was a brilliant choice for many aggressive dogs. And the dogs often you're talking about, Malinois, Shepherds, dogs that are often quite big and strong, they just don't get away with being aggressive. Like a chihuahua in a handbag, it's going to get away with the odd growl or snap or bark or bite. You know what? Those Malinois, those German Shepherds, they're not going to get away with it. Right, Dave?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's interesting. In the time I've spent in working dogs, ironically, the most common dog we've had problems with aggression were the Spaniels. real resource guarders. I took on a dog when I was a police dog instructor that was potentially going to be put to sleep for aggression. It wasn't one of our dogs, but someone came to me and said, oh, I've got this Spaniel. It's literally on last chance saloon. And we took it and it ended up being a fantastic search dog. But what was really important was we matched it to a handler and a lifestyle that the dog kind of was matched with and appropriate. And that was what was really important, is that lifestyle in peace for that particular dog ultimately saved his life.
Such a great point, lifestyle in there. And I'm going to give you an example of a little dog I rescued as I was a teenager, to be honest. I was late teenager or early 20s. It was only recent, very recent. I took her on and she was a really cool little dog. And I took her on to be able to help. The vets rang me and said, she's coming, she's going to be put to sleep. She's bitten twice. And this is like years ago. So the vets would do that. They'd ring you and tell you that the dog had bitten. I had her for about 3 weeks. In that time, anytime you picked anything up, Dave, she'd be on it. So she'd be on it. Didn't matter whether it was a dog, a person, anything that you went to move, she was going to try and get on it. Anyway, lifestyling component, she went off to be a ratter. She went off to be a ratter for a local farm guy who really needed a great ratter. She lived a long and healthy life. I think she's still alive last time I spoke to him. And she's a great ratting companion. That is what she does. She's a ratter. She's in a team of ratters and that is her job. And I think lifestyle and appropriate lifestyling for dogs like this is key. And what I really liked was when you said, about a dog like that needing the right handler, there's no point putting a resource guarding dog with a person who's obsessed with resources. Don't let him grab that. Don't let him do that. Like there's no point doing that. Like that's not going to work, right?
Yeah, because ultimately the dog learns that also gets a reaction. And like you say, it's that management piece is really, really important, and employing the dog in the right way is really, really important. But when we're talking about kind of training and trying to overcome some of those problems, you hit the nail on the head that actually, you know, they're excluded from dog training classes. They're, you know, people don't necessarily want to give advice or very often give the wrong advice. And I was really fortunate when I first started kind of my journey in dog training. I volunteered at a local dog club in Solihull. And I was lucky enough to go on to quite a number of John Rogerson seminars. Sadly, he's passed away now, but he was absolutely brilliant at dealing with aggressive dogs and dogs with aggressive tendencies, and the way he approached things was a real great learning curve to me, and it all just forms part of that lifestyling and employment. And I think what's really, really important is when you've either got a dog who's aggressive or you're dealing with a dog who's aggressive as a trainer is that you actually educate yourself a little bit as well, because it is important when you're dealing with aggressive dogs is, you know, they do carry an element of extra, you know, thought process and planning and management. So, you know, just even as simple as considering your ABCs and understanding the ABCs of dogs and dog training, you know, managing arousal, managing the actions, managing areas, you know, forms a big, big part of making sure you're going to get the right outcome from a behavior. In order to then be able to give the dog reinforcement when the dog gets the behavior you want it to get to.
Everyone's going to be livid. They're going to be like, where is my ABC podcast? They're going to be, it's coming. It's coming. And Dave, I think, again, you really, like, it struck a point for me. And so many times we tell people what dogs can't do. Your dog can't do this. Your dog can't do that. Your dog can't do this. Your dog can't do that. No, they can't do that. No, they're an aggressive dog. They shouldn't do that. No, they're a reactive dog. They shouldn't do that. No, they're the wrong dog to do that. Don't let them do that. Don't let them do that. Don't let them do that. Actually, what can they do? And that's what I loved, again, that you brought up scent, because I think that is something they can do. Scent is an enrichment appropriate activity for your dog because that is what they can do. And I think that's really, really key. We consider what dogs can do.
The best piece of advice I ever got given as a trainer, an instructor, was focus on what you want the dog to do. And that just resonated with me then throughout my whole training career, really, is because you're right, we so often, oh, I don't want the dog to do this, and God, I wish the dog had stopped doing that, and you know, silly things like when the dogs are jumping up, oh, I wish the dog wouldn't jump up. Well, train it to keep its feet on the floor as opposed to stopping it jumping up. And it's just that mindset change. You're absolutely right, it's very often when we're dealing with aggression and aggressive dogs, we focus so much on the stopping the aggression, and rightly so, that actually we forget that sometimes training incompatible behaviors will eradicate the behavior we actually want to eradicate in the first place.
So if you think an incompatible behavior, if your dog's jumping on the counter, an incompatible behavior would be put a boundary in the middle of the floor where they can't reach the counter and get the dog to target the boundary. So your dog's trained to target the boundary. Can they now jump on the counter? No, because their behavior is on the boundary. And so incompatible behaviors, that's how they sit for me. And there's so many of those. The other one I thought would be quite worthwhile tackling, Dave, is, and I think this is why, again, if you talk about a lot of police dogs that you guys have, you actually go for the cool, calm, confident, collected dog rather than the reactive, yeah, nervy, strong dog. Now, if we've got a reactive, nervy, strong dog, because a lot of people here, we're not out there picking our dogs. These are dogs that have either come to us or we didn't necessarily know what we know now when we got them. And for me, there are things you can do to help an aggressive dog feel a bit more happy with life. And I'm going to do a couple more little tips here. One of mine would be cardboard chaos. I can guess what yours might be, but mine would be cardboard chaos. Play games like cardboard chaos with your dog who potentially is worried, anxious, nervous, because I would say the majority of aggressive dogs or dogs with showing any signs of aggression, they are lacking in optimism. They're lacking in confidence. They're lacking in skills. And these are not dogs who are choosing to be downright aggressive. These are dogs who are faced with a scenario they cannot handle. They don't have the skills equipped to be in that situation. And so what they're doing is adapting as quickly as they can, and they are going to fight rather than knowing what else to do. So you're going to give your dog more skills. So for me, cardboard chaos, bunch of boxes. You might have ordered off Amazon or anywhere else. In fact, I always need to order something off Amazon. And so I'd have all that cardboard, I'd scatter food in it, or I'd pop things in it that they can find, little chews, or, and they'd go in there and they'd snuffle, and you'd be really surprised. Some dogs will go nowhere near it. I then might add tinfoil, bubble wrap, and maybe some noisy cans or something safe for your dog and appropriate for your dog, and see if your dog can still play it and keep skilling it up. Don't play it in the same place. Play it in lots of different places, maybe a lounge or maybe a kitchen or maybe a garden or maybe a neighbor's garden, or take it to the park or have the noise box that you can take on the road. Play it with noisy boxes, cardboard boxes, any boxes, and build your dog's confidence. That'd be one of my tips with building or growing an aggressive dog, in the sense that you want to help them with more confidence. That'd be one of my tips. How about one of yours?
Yeah, I think this is the beauty of Games Club, isn't it? There's so many functional games, you know, in there, that there'll be a toolbox for someone and someone's dog. And I think you're absolutely right. I think it's around how do we give the dog more confidence, self-confidence and self-belief in a managed way, and that's what Games Club's brilliant for, isn't it? There's so many different varieties of games you can play in order to do that, but you're absolutely right. The key thing is giving the dog more confidence, making the dog more stable in its kind of headspace and thought space is the most important thing. And very often I see people doing things with aggressive dogs where they're actually increasing arousal and they're almost training reactivity in some ways.
Without realizing it, right, Dave? They don't.
Yeah, without realizing. Yeah, and for all of the best intentions, and this is what I will say is when people are dealing with aggressive dogs, everyone is doing things for the right reasons because everybody wants to try and stop the dog being aggressive and displaying behaviors we don't necessarily want. So, you know, we're all in dog training for the right reasons, aren't we? And I see very often people get criticized for doing certain things, but ultimately they're just trying to help. And, you know, and this is what this is about, isn't it? Is if there's something people can take away from this podcast, they think, do you know what? We'll just try that and it might work. We're not saying we've got the golden answers. We're not saying we've got a magic wand that'll fix every dog and every dog's problems. But the more tools you've got in the box and the more opportunities and knowledge you've got to try things, then hopefully one of those things will give you the steps to success. So yeah, I completely agree. It's bringing the dog down into a level of confidence and self-assured nature through those different games in Games Club.
I really love that. And I'm going to give an example here. One other thing I would say is confidence of the handler is really important. And my example is going to be horses. When my daughter started riding, she was quite flappy and nervous, and she was anxious, and she was worried about being on the horse. And the more she flapped, the more the horse would flap, and the more the horse would flap, the more she would flap. And if you're not feeling confident with your dog, if you're feeling worried, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling a bit strong, and Dave, you'll have worked with handlers like this, whether that be the puppy walkers that take on your operational dogs, or whether it be the operational handler, if they flap, or if they worry, or if they're anxious, or they get the lead and they go, everything goes down your lead. Everything that you are. So when I handle my dogs, I want them to know that I've got this. You do not need to handle it. I've got it. This dog comes up to you, I've got it. It's not your business. You are protected because I'm going to make sure you're okay in this situation. So I know that I'm a great advocate for my dogs, and I know that I'm not going to put them in a situation they can't handle. And if another dog does come over to them and they can't handle it, I'm going to help. Yeah, I'm going to make sure that I get them out of that situation, or I'm going to support them in some way, depending on the situation. Now, so many handlers are nervous, are anxious, are worried, and sometimes rightly so, because they have been bitten or they have seen or experienced things that they don't like. And so one thing I would say, if you're nervous, if you're worried, if you're anxious, if you need more support, make sure you get more support. So don't work it alone. So at Absolute Dogs, we have our Pro Dog Trainer Connect sessions. They're one-to-one sessions with our trainers. You can have a one-to-one session with our trainers. They'll show you through all the games. They'll show you with all of the games-based training. They'll show you through the membership systems. They'll show you everything you can do with your dog, and they'll give you a program. Or it might be going to Games Club and try out the training and see how you get on, and you don't even need to have someone guide you through it. You don't even need to have a one-to-one. Maybe you do need a one-to-one. Maybe you don't need a one-to-one. Maybe you want to become a pro dog trainer yourself, because actually you want to know what to do in that situation. You want the learning. You want the knowledge. You want to know how to do it. Or maybe it's doing something like Dave's Scent Badge, get a hold of Sensational Fundamentals, because you know what, tracking or scent could be what your dog needs. What I would say is, don't leave yourself underskilled, and definitely don't sit it alone. Don't become anxious. Don't worry about it. Don't get over cautious. Life is too short to be worried about a dog who potentially is worried as well, because you're just going to have this big worry ball. So I would say, reach out for help. We're here for sure at Absolute Dogs, and we're here for you. So we've seen it all before. I've been training a heck of a long time, and I've trained every breed I can think of. Dave, you've trained everything that pretty much you can think of. And that's really cool as well, because we've had different experiences. Like, I would say that I've had way more experiences with Shepherds or Mallees that have been very reactive than I have with Spaniels. But I would say the people here with Spaniels are typically quite experienced at them, and the people we're seeing with Shepherds and Mallees are not. And so I bet that's cultivated in lifestyle, whereas you're seeing a different end of the spectrum because you're seeing operational. And so it's great, because we've all got different experience here. So please do reach out, is what I'm saying.
I think that's the key bit, because every single dog trainer and every single person who works with dogs has got a different experience. There's no two people within the dog industry who have got exactly the same knowledge and experience. And It's really important that we actually respect and appreciate that, because that's not saying my knowledge is better than your knowledge, or your knowledge is better than my knowledge, or somebody else's knowledge is better. It's just different. And I'll go back to the saying that I talk about a lot, is sometimes we focus so much on what's on somebody else's dinner plate than actually looking at our own dinner plate. And you know, we spoke about this, one of my instructors used to talk about this all the time, and it's really, really important, because I can really resonate to that, certainly when we're dealing with aggressive dogs, because there are no two dogs that have the same issues and the same aggression issues, and therefore there isn't a magic wand, and there isn't the kind of oracle and fount of all knowledge. So if you've got a dog like that and you are feeling anxious and you are feeling worried, then it is really, really important that you reach out to somebody, because even if that somebody can't help you, they will give you something that will help you, and in turn hopefully point you in the right direction of people that can. And that's what's great about the, you know, the Absolute Dogs community. There's so many people involved in it that somewhere along the line there will be an answer.
I love that you said, Dave, like, not one of us is, like, we're not saying one person's right or one person's wrong, but let's be really straight. You know what, when it comes to scent, I'm going to say, you know what, Dave is literally scent expert here. You're head of scent. I'm head of agility. Like, I'm definitely yeah. sports dogs and agility, and you're probably sports dogs and scent and tracking and bite work. I would say I do great in my sports training. I do great in my coaching. I do great in my mentorship of people. I do great in my sort of business coaching. I love raising naughty but nice sort of owners to be able to handle their dogs, like helping them. So we do all have our specialisms. And what I love yeah. here, and I know that you'll touch on this, is we're quite unusual in the fact we want to work together and we want to grow each other.
I think it's the only way you get better as a person yourself. I think that, you know, very often I hear people go, oh, Dave, why are you doing this? Why are you telling people that information? And I only got to where I got to because I was lucky enough to have some really great mentors and people who shared information and knowledge with me. And yeah, you know, I did put myself out and put myself in positions to be able to absorb that information. But ultimately, you know, we get better as a community by sharing information and sharing knowledge and sharing experiences. If you keep it all to yourself, then nobody benefits, because there's no way I can disseminate all the knowledge I've got. The only way I can disseminate the knowledge I've got is by sharing it with other people, who I then hope go and share it with other people. And it is really, really important. And I see so many people, not just in the dog industry, but in life in general, who are so closed and closed-minded that nobody really gets anywhere. But if we're open-minded and we share and we have, you know, I when I was working in the police, I had an open door policy. Anyone could come and watch our training. Anyone could come and, you know, input. You know how many times you came up and saw stuff. We had loads of people coming and watching, and I think that's really important, because, you know, you came up and, you know, your knowledge of agility dogs and all the work you do, you know, we were actually able to take some of that and implement into our training and vice versa. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Sharing knowledge and ideas and experiences is definitely the way we all grow and get better.
Love it. And on that note, I'm going to say, guys, we're your family. We are the people you need to reach out to. Absolute Dogs is here for you. If you have a struggle with your dog being aggressive, worried, anxious, nervous, reach out to us. We've got a program for you. If we haven't got a program for you, we have a one-to-one session for you. If we haven't got a one-to-one session for you, well, we have. So you know what? We're your family. Reach out. Please talk to us. We absolutely are here to help. Second note, really, and I think this is really important, it just reaches on and takes what Dave said to another level, which is share this podcast. Please share this podcast. Share it with literally your neighbor, your friend, anybody who you know in the community that has a dog who might need some help. Because just like Dave said, we can't share this information alone. I see it as our love of sharing it with you. And really, we would love you as a give back to the whole world. Share it and share it all around, literally, whether that's a WhatsApp link to a friend or whether that's a Facebook Messenger, or maybe you're just going to pop it on your own social media and just see by chance who wants some help with their dog. So on that note, that was this episode of the Sex and Squirrel podcast. Just like Dave and I said, please, 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 please make this work. World for aggressive dogs a better space. We'll see you next time for even more super dog antics. See you soon, guys.